Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Cardi can put it up, fam.
Damn.
Straight, baby.
Yeah.
Beat down.
You ain't no
shit. I said, bullshit.
Stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's going city.
Said, bullshit.
Stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's your
city.
Bullshit.
Stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's your
city.
Said, bullshit.
Stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's your
city.
One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home of the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat down Sluggins. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all want Pepsi, y'all want Cardi. C-Top, 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 Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life shows a vibe, start a ride like this. From South Carolina to Southie, Roxbury, Metapin, Dorchester, Somerville, Winter Hills, J.P., E.C., Nancy. Y'all want Cardi, Rolling, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans,
all shit,
stand up,
stand up,
the
beans, your
city, said, all
shit,
stand up,
stand up,
the
beans, your
city,
all
shit, stand
up,
stand
up,
the
beans, your
city,
said,
all
shit,
stand
up,
stand
up.
Set a fire to the aching brain, double pocket rust out. Middle finger up every rapper in the city. Cause y'all hate me just like New York City. I'm not trying to be anyone or no man. Follow no path, I take no lead. I'm just like you, me mugging on the tee. Waking up them stairs that smell like tea. Aggravated, frustrated, Johnny Bass and Jesse. Line around the block for them Dunkin' Donuts. Walking into traffic like an organ donor. Every street's a one way. There's no luck in the city, everybody rocks clover. 30 degrees, and I'm wearing shorts. It's Fox 25, fucked up the weather report.
Bullshit, stand up,
stand up.
The
beat's your
city,
said bullshit,
stand up,
stand
up.
The
beat's your
city,
bullshit,
stand
up,
stand
up.
The
beat's your
city,
said bullshit,
stand
up,
stand
up.
The beat's
your
city.
You
see them
little stairs
in front of
that parking
spot.
Ain't cause
the owners
like to
sit there
a lot.
You
seen
the snowman?
I am a snowman.
You and your
work just
stand around
doing
nothing.
Got
another
big pig,
honey, me and
Kyrie.
Switch
your
stupid,
you was
tired of
something.
My
Warburg
make
a million
for talking.
Just
call me
Mad Damon,
cause
I'm good
with
a hunting.
These honeys
out
in Newberry,
paid
for my
February.
They love
my
clientele,
a
youth team
fight
club.
See
me out
with Ernie
Barr,
better
bring
your black
card.
988,
everything
about
this.
As
long as
the proof
stand
it,
I'm about
this.
So boss
it.
Restore
the revolution.
The hottest
rap
alive,
cardiac,
yeah.
It's a
loose
it.
Bosses, stand up. Welcome, everyone. How's it going? This is Charlie Alejandro back at you after an amazing summer. Here we are, Diamond in the Rough Show. And who else happens to be hanging around the chat room? Are we in there? Where are you, my man?
Mountain Mandy's here.
Mountain Man is in the building. Mountain Man is in the building. Oh, man, I have got to tell you guys. Mountain Man,
okay.
What have you been up to? Tell us. Last time we
Mountain
heard you were being a nomad.
Well, Mountain Man has moved from his old location out on Westford Street and is now living closer to downtown Lowell, where I've gone to several of our Lowell Spinners games this year.
Woohoo! Well, good for you. Now, as much as some of our listeners obviously know, just from hearing in the past, Mountain Man had a location that wasn't that central, kind of out of the way, had to take a couple buses to get around, and now you're that snack right in the Mac, right there in the action. How's it going, though? How you like it?
I'm liking it all right. I'm liking it all right. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on over here on my end. It's been awesome to go here. It's been really good. Like I said, I've been going to a few of the Spinners games this year, and I don't know if they won or not. But if they did, yay! Anyhow, I've been unpacking quite a bit. And what is going on in our chat room? Something's going on in the chat room here.
Yes,
I don't
it
know.
Is. For all our listeners, welcome back. It's been a really jam-packed summer for me in particular, and we'll catch up on that. But again, housekeeping. If you would like to join us, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywomanWMN. You can jump on into our chat room and join us there. The whole new system is set up, brand new chat room going on, and so we might not be able to see all of you that are in the chat room, but we will still be able, you'll still be able to hear us, so that's good. They're working the kinks out on that. If you want to stop by and give us a call, Man, why don't you give them the number?
Our call-in number is 347-989-1473. And if we have a toll number, I do not know, but that is our call.
We do. We actually have a toll-free number, but like I said, Blog Talk Radio has incorporated a whole new system, brand new switchboard, brand new way to get everything done. So once we figure out the logistics of it, we'll let everybody know what the toll-free number is, but you're more than welcome to call us. You can also Skype us, Ordinary Woman, WMN. And is our caller ID for that, so you can call us that way as well. Also, if you want, you can go to our blog, www.ordinarywomanwmn.com, and you can, we have a player on there as well, and you can just hit play, and you'll be able to listen to the show. Some of the changes incorporated by Blog Talk Radio is, the first one is, you will no longer be able to actually download the podcast as you did before, but if you have iTunes, you can listen to us that way for free. You can actually download it and listen to that way, which actually saves room on your hard drive because you're actually listening to it on iTunes instead of actually downloading it to your hard drive. So that's another thing that's coming up. The other amazing thing is we've actually have little box full, bags full of prizes that sponsors have given me throughout the summer in my little adventures. So we're going to have giveaways. We're going to be having contests later on in the month. As you know, as you guys know, September 19th will be our two-year anniversary. Woo-hoo! Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary! It's our second-year anniversary. Hey, listen, you know, just because I can't carry a tune doesn't mean I can't attempt it, but nonetheless, y'all know me.
Did I
love
say
me.
Anything? No,
no,
I did
just,
not.
Just the choking laugh. Might have given it away. But yes, we actually have some CDs, we have some posters, we have some really neat Queenie stuff that we'll talk about later to giveaways. We've got some T-shirts that we're going to be giving away. So yeah, I'm kind of psyched about all the cool stuff that we have and the
and
new
I
changes.
And I have a question.
Yes, answer.
Our Hall of Famer wall.
Mm-hmm.
How many pictures have we gotten up on that Hall of Fame wall?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because for our listeners, I have to tell you, we actually, as most of you know, I am in transition in the sense of that my husband and I technically, I guess, could be called empty nesters because our youngest, who just turned 19 in August, has moved away and he's living in New York going to school there. So what we did is we took over the whole third floor, which is an attic slash loft. I guess it could have been an attic back in the day, but it's actually a loft now that was done over, and it's a huge. So we took that over, and that is now the studio for Blog Talk Radio, Ordinary Woman, actually, for our Ordinary Woman show, which I'm very excited about. So one of the cool things is now I have just three huge walls staring at me going, fill me with pictures of famous people. Fill me. I'm so lonely. I'm so bare.
Well, here's my question. Don't we have pitches?
Yes, we do. We actually do. We have actually, let's see, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 pictures of amazing people that have been on our show. So one of the things that gets me is that we've had a lot more than 13 than 12 people on the show. So they're slacking. I got to get back on them and make sure that we get the pictures. So if you're listening and you have been on the show, please, please make sure that you actually send us a picture. 8x10 autographed would be phenomenal, and you can go up on our Wall of Fame. If you're interested in being on our show, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com is the way to reach us. You send us a little email, let us know what your spiel is, and RS, my assistant, Mr. Montman, and myself will go through it, and we will see if we can get you on the show. That'd be kind of cool, see what you're up to, what stories you have to share. So that would be amazing. I have to say, though, some of the guests that we're going to be having coming up are really cool. We have a big announcement coming up. We won't tell you now. You got to come back second hour for that one. Real big announcement as far as to the direction where our show's. Would you stop with the giggles? I love you, Mutt-Man. I love the way he's always laughing. He is. He's so laughing at me. See, one of these days we'll be technology savvy and we'll be able to actually figure out the chat room and all that cool stuff that's going on here. But anyway, so moving on, I have some amazing, bizarre news that happened to me this summer. This summer has been really strange. It's been a summer of weirdness and trying new things.
And I have to say something there.
Yes, go ahead.
Miss Queen Bee.
Yes, I knew he was going to bring up the Queen Bee stuff. Oh, my Lord. You guys do not know. See, that's, I told my husband, this is what happens when you leave me alone late at night. And, yeah, that's what happens. So, yes, to make a long story short, I was actually researching. Actually, we should back it up a little bit. This is a little bit of a story. So before we get into that, I think we should play a song. I really do.
Oh, really?
What do you think, Mountain Man? Yes, because I need to prepare for the story. And I think we should listen to Are You Prepared by Silent Bravery. Can you cue it up, or you want me to do it on this end?
Are You Prepared by Silent Bravery. Got it right
yeah.
here.
Awesome. So to our listeners, Are You Prepared by Silent Bravery. Enjoy.
I'm all in when I go all out. Put in is what you're bound to get out of nowhere. Here come that rushing in doubt. Are you prepared to ride this one out?
Are you? Target in sight, you're nearly there, but then you want to give up in the air. Well, one ends up, we all know almost is not enough. Changed, and you know that you could, you had it
That was an amazing song.
I love them. Now, how do I sound? I had to switch mics up here. Does that sound any better?
Excuse me, what, huh?
1, 2, 3, testing, how do I sound?
You're a nut.
Yes, I am a nut. That's why I'm here. No, I had to switch mics because the other one was getting some kind of feedback on it, but just want to make sure this one sounds okay.
That sounds fine.
Doesn't sound better than the other one?
I can't really tell.
That's good. If you can't tell the difference, we're all good. Yes, that was our Silent Bravery, Are You Prepared? And I don't know if some of you know, they actually got nominated for an award earlier this summer in the Worcester area, in the Worcester Music Awards. And I'm not quite sure how they placed because I've been out of town since then, but I'm so excited that they actually are getting some of the recognition that they deserve, and we're actually going to be having them on the show later in November. So I'm really psyched about that because they're just an amazing band, and I just absolutely love them. And got the opportunity to be a guest judge with them. Real quick, the chat room seems like it's buzzing, starting to come in. Hey, Infamous Angel Girl, how's it going? Betty, welcome back. Janaya, met her in
All right,
welcome,
I'm going to do something here. So you keep that
you,
up.
No, what are you doing? What are you doing? Come back! Don't leave me! No!
I'm here, but I'm refreshing my page. So just bear with me 1 second. I should be okay here. You still got
so
me, right?
What? No, I'm not looking at you. I'm ignoring you.
Thanks. I love you too there, Miss Ordinary Woman.
So, my man is fiddling with the chat room. Welcome. This is the first hodgepodge of the month of September. Actually, it's the first hodgepodge of the new season. As you know, the last couple of years, it is our second year anniversary. Woohoo! This is the second year. We'll be celebrating our anniversary September 19th, 2 whole years we've been on the air. And for the last 2 years, what we've done is we actually take a hiatus during the summer, 2 month hiatus. So this is the beginning of our new season, and we're kind of excited that we're back and we have you guys, and we have a lot of really cool, amazing things in the works. So one of the things that happened this summer that I want to share with all my listeners is that my husband left me alone one night when he had to work an overnight shift. And horrors, how dare you? He left me alone. And, you know, there's one thing you have to know about Ordinary Woman. Do not leave her alone with the computer and the access to the Internet, because trust me, she will find a way to get into trouble. Not bad trouble, nothing, you know, illegal or immoral, because I'm kind of...
Oh, no, she got into trouble.
I did, but it was a good kind of trouble. So what happened was, for Infamous Angel, she knows, 3-4 years ago, my daughter Jess decided to do a beauty pageant. Yes, a beauty pageant. And I was kind of a little surprised because my daughter, for those of you that know her, really isn't the beauty pageant type. She's got a girly side, but she was more about sports and athletics. She played baseball. She played softball, soccer, volleyball. What else? So she was a three-letter athlete at her school. She played soccer, basketball, and softball the 4 years she was there. She played on a baseball team 2 years with her brother. One of those years they actually won the park series and they won the city series. So that was her thing, sports. So anyway, she said, I would like to try a beauty pageant. She's like, I've always thought about it, never had the opportunity, and she wanted to do it. Well, lo and behold, she registered, got picked to be one of the representatives, was all excited, but then the nurse started kicking in. Yes, Infamous Angel, I miss Miss Justu a lot. So what ended up happening is a couple of days before the pageant, actually during the beginning of the pageant, she's freaking out. I mean, Mountain Man, like, freaking out, like, this is so hard, I don't know if I can do this, the whole nerves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the mama kicked in and said, suck it up.
Oh, mama kicked in.
I didn't say suck it up. Well, yeah, I did, but not that way. No, actually, I did do it that way. No, what I said there was like, listen, it's not that hard. It's a beauty pageant. You know, suck it up. You can do this. It's a matter of
just like you
yourself.
Tell me, suck it up.
Pretty much, yeah. No, I gotta learn how to use a better word than suck it up. I don't think that's politically correct. Like, I don't think if I interviewed Oprah and she was talking to me, I'd say, listen, Oprah, you need to suck it up, girl. I don't know if that'd be correct. Would it be? I don't know. We'll have to have our listeners tell me if that's politically correct to tell someone to suck it up. Anyway, so...
Come on, Infamous Angel, let us know.
I know, right?
I see you out there.
Yeah, so I said that to her, and then she's like, well, if you think it's that easy, why don't you do it? I said, listen, we'll make a deal. If you promise to chill out and actually enjoy the rest of the weekend, because it was beginning to feel like it was going to be a long weekend. This was on Thursday, and the pageant wasn't over till Sunday. I said to her, listen, if you chill out, relax, and get through this without flipping out and actually have fun with it, I'll do one. I'll find a pageant for us old ladies, and I will do one. And that's the deal. So she said, all right, that's the deal. So she went and did the pageant. She wound up placing in the top 20%, of the pageant. Did it. Was glad she did it. Really wasn't like, that's not my cup of tea. She decided not to do it. She got invited back to do it again, but didn't want to because it was her senior year of high school, and she felt it was going to be too much. So she didn't do it. And she decided not to do any more, but she did that one. All well and good. Well, the reality is that I felt it was time for me to own up my part of the deal, because after all, I did say I would do one, and I hadn't. It'd been like, a couple years already, and still hadn't done it. So that particular night, lo and behold, I'd been doing the research for 3 years now with pageants. Wind up finding one, and that I thought would be a fit for me. Yes, my man, I did. I filled out the paperwork, sent it in, and said, great. Send it to him, never hear back. I'm all good. Lived up to my part of the deal. Nope. Not to be. I think it was maybe 2 weeks later, around there, I got a notice saying, hey, congratulations, our committee has decided to make you the representative for the state of Massachusetts. Kind of like, what, huh? Wait, no. No, that's not how it works. The way it works is you say, no, we don't need you, thank you, but no. And then I can say to Jesse, okay, I tried. They said no. No, it didn't work that way. Didn't work that way.
So and I'm sorry I missed that game.
Oh, my God, So what wind up happening is that, no, and then it gets better because I didn't tell anybody. Like, nobody in my family knew. For 3 weeks, I walked around and like, no, I don't think I'll tell anybody. Yeah, I'll keep myself. So eventually I went, and the funny thing is, like, it's for the listeners, you hear my man laughing. Him and my husband are very similar in that sense. My husband kind of laughs the same way. Yeah, just like that. Only a little louder and more annoying. At least Mountain Man has this laughter that you want to crack up with. My husband gives you that, wow, on the floor kind of like, you just, yeah. Like what Mountain Man's doing, but 10 times worse. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah.
You're comparing me to him?
Yes,
how
I know.
How dare you?
Scary. Very scary. So I finally wind up getting the courage to tell him. Not because there was anything scary about it. It's just that for you guys that know me, not me. That's not the type of person that I thought I was anyway. So I wind up and I said, hey, babe, guess what happened? And so I told him. I was like, yeah, I kind of sort of entered the beauty pageant. And so I kind of sort of got picked to be the state rep. So when I finished saying that, my husband's on the floor laughing, like hysterically, like red face, tears coming down his eyes, cracking up, and I'm looking at him straight face. And he's like,
wow.
Oh, wait, you're not kidding? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, my God, I thought you were joking. I was like, no, it's not a joke. So that made him laugh even more because he knows who I am, and, that's totally out of my comfort zone. So that's what wind up happening. I know. So now that I had already told him, I'm thinking, well, I really don't have to go to the nationals because I didn't realize that I had to go to a national competition with women from all over the country. Yeah, pretty cool on that one. I was like, oh, wait, great. I get to dress up in all these clothes, makeup, high heels, and parade myself on stage. Not cool. Now, for those of you that know me, I do a lot of public speaking. That's my thing. I'm a motivational speaker. But there's one thing when you're a motivational speaker and you're kind of just standing there and saying to other people, yeah, go do it. Proud of you. You can do this. As opposed to you being the one actually doing it. That's the tricky part. Yeah. So anyway, I wind up doing it. The pageant was held in Waterbury, Connecticut. The first weekend in August. So I'm thinking, great, go to the pageant, have a great time. The judge is going to take one look and go, great, nice meeting you, see you later, bye, have a nice life, thanks for coming. No. No, I wind up winning my division, which shocked not only me, but my husband, and I'm pretty sure just about everybody there. First pageant, and I guess I am now, my title is Mrs. Woman, Petite America, 2011. There you have it, folks. That's what happens when you are left alone on the internet. If you get yourself into trouble by clicking, oh, this sounds like it's fun, let me try it. Yeah.
And knowing you as I do, that doesn't surprise me.
What, getting
in
trouble? No, getting in trouble isn't the surprising part.
And where was I when you were getting in trouble? I think I was at my new place, vegging, like I am right now.
I planned it perfectly because that was the thing. I got in trouble while you were moving. If you had been there, that would have never happened because I would have never pressed the send button. That's the point. See? Yeah, go ahead and laugh, Abby, now, so I'm going to blame you. This is all your fault. Oh, my goodness. So, Angel Woman, thank you. Yes, she said congratulations, by the way. For our listeners, Angel Woman has actually been our correspondent in the field when it comes to American Idol. She calls in, gives us the updates and all that stuff.
Oh, she is awesome.
We're gonna have, yeah, you are infamous, girl. You are just amazing. She started classes up again, and one of the things she's mentioning is how expensive the books are this year. You spent $318 yesterday on books and $125. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, that's crazy. See,
That is ridiculous.
It is. It has been insane, and I have to sympathize because one of the things that I had made a goal for myself was to go back to school and finish up my coursework because you guys know, nine kids, craziness everywhere. I did do a lot of training, you know, being a cop or whatever. I was always being sent to training, like, for homicides and stuff, but one of the things that I had never been able to do was put all that training in one place and actually get, you know, my master's degree. So this last year, I finally decided that's what I'm going to do. So, infamous girl, trust me, I can relate. There was one book in particular that I needed, and I almost fell out of my chair. $110 for a book.
Wow.
I'm like, it's a book, people. Is it going to tutor me? Is it going to do my dishes for me when I'm tired of studying?
My goodness.
Can you imagine $110 for one book? And in my case, I'm blessed right now that I'm at a point in life that, okay, yes, it bothers me to pay $110 for a book, but at least I can do it. I can't imagine someone like Angel Girl that, you know, part-time job, no job, just getting by, whatever, and then to actually have to dish out $500 for books. Holy moly, that's insane. So one of the things I recommend, and the other thing is that some people have scoured the internet, try to find the muse or whatever, which is great. But one of the things that happens is that some college professors actually use a new book every semester. So you have to buy a new book. It's not like you can go out and buy a used one because it's a brand new book they are using. Some professors actually write their own books for their courses, which happened to me. So every semester, this professor, rightfully so, I mean, I'm not blaming them, would update the book with new information. Or if it's criminal justice, there's always new court cases coming down. Special constitutional law. Forget it. There's no way you can ever borrow that book from anybody. Because you're not even done with the semester when the book's obsolete. Because the Supreme Court is constantly bringing down new decisions, so they have to add that in there. So, yeah, pretty much you walk out the bookstore, the book is useless after your course is over. So it gets expensive after a while. It's crazy.
Yeah, but
I can imagine.
I just heard of over the last few weeks or whatever, I've heard somebody saying that it's hard to sell those books, even though you were in the college courses or whatever.
They are hard to sell. And
years
it's funny
back,
though, because years back it was a lot more difficult. Now we have the internet, and there's a lot of websites like halfbooks.com, textbooks.com, and there's Amazon and bookswap.com. So there's a lot of websites where you can actually swap books or sell books. So you recoup at least a little bit of your money. I remember when I was physically going, like right now I go to school online, But years ago when the dinosaurs roamed the earth and I used to have to take one to school, I remember having to pay, and I'm talking back 80s, late 80s was when I started to go to college. I remember in the late 80s going to college, and I remember having to pay $90. Now I'm talking, think about inflation and stuff. I paid $90 for criminal justice books. And trying to sell it back at the end of the semester, I went to the bookstore, and they're like, okay, we'll give you $15 for it because it's brand new.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
really?
And you're right, Infamous. Infamous Angel is right. I mean, you go back, and they give you half of what you paid for it.
Very true. They give you less than half of what you paid for it. So these websites where you swap books and stuff is kind of cool because you can at least help each other out. My school that I go to, Ashford University, love them online. One of the things that's cool is that one of the past students actually set up an unofficial website. It doesn't belong to the school. It's not part of the school. But they actually list books that have, you know, classes that have gone by, and you can actually go on there. I remember there was one book that I needed that was, it was going to cost me like $250 for the two books that I needed, and I was able to get them there for $50 because someone was, you know, selling them used from there. So that's one of the advantages. And Angel Girl has a point. I remember one year having to pay $85 for a book. We did not look at that book once. Don't get me wrong. The professor did not use it. He didn't use it during class. But this is where they get you. To make sure that you've read it, they actually grab questions from the book on the final exam.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. So luckily I had actually bothered to read the book on my own, but there were people, kids that didn't, because they figure, well, he's not telling us what classes, you know, what chapters to read. He doesn't refer to it in class. And I have to say the final exam probably had like 80 questions on it. I'd say a good 50% of them were from the textbook. So that's what he gets you to make sure that you read books. Because remember, this is college. You're adults here. You should know better that at the beginning, people don't understand, and this is where they get themselves into trouble. You walk into class that first day, he will give you a piece of paper called a syllabus. On it, it tells you this is what you need to do, when you need to do it, by what date. And that's the last time that person will remind you. He's not going to come after you to ask you where your papers are, did you read the chapters. They don't even care if you don't show up to class, because remember, you already paid for these classes or your financial aid paid for them, so they're not going to chase you around. If you're a full-time student living on the dorms, what happens is sometime around December, October, November, someone comes and knocks on your door and says, you know what, we haven't seen you in class for 3 months, so you need to get out. Basically, that's what happens. It's a culture shock for a lot of kids to go from high school where they're constantly being supervised to now all of a sudden total freedom. Total freedom. You decide when your classes are. You schedule them at what times you want, like later in the morning. I'll give you an example. When Chris and Jesse went to college their first year, Jesse's an early bird. All her classes were early morning classes. So her first class was at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Some days she was done with classes by 12 noon because she had already squeezed 2-3 classes into the morning. Chris, on the other hand, is not a morning person. He scheduled all his classes late afternoon night. I mean, he even had one class that started at 8 o'clock at night and went till 10. So the freedom to do the schedule the way you want, you know, within reason is there. But again, it's a matter of no one's going to come knocking on your door. And the other thing that people don't realize is that when you're in college, once you turn a certain age, your parents don't have access to your report card. And they're not going to call and say, oh, your son hasn't been in class for a week. So you don't know. All you know is that later on, if they have your mailing address, you'll get their report card, and that tells you whether they're going, their classes are going well or not. And even if you get the report card, you still don't know. If they have a failing grade, you don't know why. You don't know if they never showed up, they didn't do the work, or what's going on. It's a culture shock for kids. It's very culture shock for kids when they go from that. And adults, too, can be very. I think that's one of the reasons why I remember when I decided I wanted to go back to school, my husband suggested me going back to school full time, and I remember applying to UMass Lowell. I even got accepted there, and I was thinking about it. But one of the things that got me when I went to they call it proctoring. You can actually go and visit a class to see if you like it or not before you take it to get a feel for the school. Well, one of the things that got me was that here I am in my 40s, and these kids are all 18, 19. 20. Some of them were kids that my kids had gone to school with. And that's one of the things. That's when I went, oh, heck, and no. No, no, no. Because I will have to kill someone when they ask the same question for the 50th time in class. Because they, and it's not that they're stupid or anything. That it's just we're at different places in life. So obviously their understanding is a little bit more limited than mine. My life experience is a lot more than theirs. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to actually go to school online, which I love. Works great for me. It doesn't work for everybody because, trust me.
Yeah, but we all ask questions over and over again. You should know that. How many times have I asked you the same question over and over again?
Yeah, but at least you figure out different ways of asking it. It's not the exact same question, the exact same way. Like, the answer's not going to change, dude. Same one. But and the thing is, the thing that I liked about going to school online, and this is why it worked for me, and again, I'm not a sponsor of any, I'm just saying for me, is the cool thing, with, especially Ashford University, you can log on anytime during the day or night. So basically, you have 5 weeks to finish your coursework. And there's certain things that need to be done at certain times, certain papers need to be due. But the classwork that needs to be done or the paperwork that needs to be done online, I could do it at 3 in the morning in my pajamas. Or I could do it at 6 in the morning, or 8 o'clock in the morning at Panera, whatever. So that was the freedom that I liked, that it afforded me the freedom to do it whenever I wanted to. So that's why it worked for me. But again, it doesn't work for everybody because I know my son Alex looked into it. And he says, Mom, there is absolutely no way I have the discipline to remember to constantly log on and do this work for myself. So I guess it depends on everybody of when when it works for you or not. So on that note, we are really wishing Infamous Angel a great season. She's going full-time this year. I am so proud of you that you're actually going to school full-time. She was asking, how do I keep up with my online class? And again, sweetie, it's just a matter of having the discipline. I remember it got to the point that I would actually put a reminder in my phone, how you have the calendar on your phone, and have the alarm go off to remind me, get your butt downstairs. That's when my computer was downstairs, to get your schoolwork done. So that was part of the discipline that I had to get to do it. And it is very, that's why a lot of people really knock online education, because the graduation rate for some people isn't that great, but the reality is that for people like myself, prior military, law enforcement, it works a little bit better. Online school actually was originally started, people don't realize this, back in the day it was called correspondence school, mail-in, and it was done for the prisoners that wanted to finish their GED, get their high school diploma. And for service people, the military, because how military people get moved around all over the world, and obviously they just can't sign up to a school, and halfway through the year they get transferred and they lose their money. So that's where it came from. And then when the internet came along and the computers came along, they switched the correspondence part over to the internet, and that's how it got started.
Wow.
So that's something that you guys are interested in. Research it. Make sure the school you look into is actually registered with the Department of Education, and it's reputable. And find out what their graduation rate. Like I said, their graduation rate online schools is less than 40% for some, less than 50%. But you know what? It's not that much different from community school. Kids that go to community school, their graduation level is less than 50%. They just don't have the focus. And unfortunately, that's just what happens. Once you go to a four-year school, it goes up because it's more of a commitment if you're actually living in the dorms and that kind of stuff. But then again, it all depends on the person and their commitment. So on that note, after my little spiel about online school, if you are interested in calling us, Mountain Man, give them the number.
1-347 989.
You're right there.
1-473 Yep,
yes,
I am crazy.
Yes.
I am a crazy person over here. I'm multitasking over here.
Oh, my gosh. Mountain Man, multitasking. That's scary. Ooh. So the call-in number, once again, 347-989-1473. Also, Blog Talk Radio actually has a downloadable app. If you have an Android phone, you can listen to us. You can download it to your phone, and once you know, find us, and there's a code next to our, you can actually listen to us on your phone if you are on the go. You have iTunes.
Woo-hoo!
can listen
We're
to it.
We're jumping up the gun there, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, Apple also has an app, Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to us through your iPod or your iTouch. And I be there because you can hear me. So excited for that. On that note,
I'm happy.
He's happy. I love it. So if you guys want to, well, we were talking about the beauty pageant. If you guys want to go to Facebook, go to Facebook and look up Charlie Alejandro. You will see the pictures from the pageant. Also, I have to ask you guys, please, please, please go to Facebook, go to our Ordinary Woman Diamond in the Rough show and become a fan because we really need to get the numbers up on that. I'm, like, looking forward to it. I have to say, as far as our fans, we really haven't given it that much shine as far as really promoting it.
You're right.
Yes, I'm writing as I'm talking. But the point is that Diamond in the Rough Radio Talk Show, we have our own little whip and page. We're up to, drum roll please, 137 likes, which is kind of weird because we have over 6,000 fans on Blog Talk Radio. So you guys, come on, switch it over. Go over to our page on Facebook, Diamond in the Rough Radio Talk Show. You'll see that Mountain Man's smiley face along with me on there and pictures of guests that we've had in the past and guests that will be coming on the show in the future. So go be a fan, be a fan, be a fan. Also, if you like, we got to set up a fan page for you, Mountain Man.
What? Wait.
Like what? Also, if you would like to become my fan, because this is something that I've been talking about, I have a Facebook page, obviously, just like everybody else, and it's ridiculous. I was blessed that, you know, got to do the pageant, got a couple of articles in local papers and interviews and stuff. Well, I've been getting an average, and this is insane because I never thought it would happen, and I feel so blessed. I've been getting an average of 50 to 70 friend requests a day. A day.
Wow.
Yes.
A day?
I know. A day. And I feel bad because the majority of these people are people that I have some type of connection with in one way or another, or they're just amazing people that kind of become fans. And I want to keep them in the loop. I want to keep in contact. But right now, my personal Facebook page is at 3,448 friends.
Well,
and
how much you're loved.
I know, and I love that fact, but on top of that, I have 187 friend requests that I haven't answered to yet because Facebook has a 5,000 friend limit. So that's the challenge that we're coming up to now. Really don't want to do another Facebook personal page. That's why we did the fan page for our show. And I actually have my own personal fan page. So if you guys actually click on Charlie Alejandro, it'll pop up. There's my smiley face holding onto my little crown. Please befriend me. Become my fan. And I would love to have you guys on there because that way I can actually keep you guys in the loop. Let you know what's going on. You can read about me in the blog. I have a blog where it's highlighting my adventures as Mrs. Woman Petite America 2011. And just keep you guys updated. We're also, that's where we're going to be listing the giveaways, the contest that we're going to be having and all that fun stuff. So I would really need you guys to go over there. We're up to 664 fans on that page. Really exciting because, again, haven't really gotten that much shine. And that is kind of my fault. Because I've kind of gotten used to using my regular personal page. And unfortunately, when you're almost at 4,000 friends, I'm going to have to start scaling it back a little bit because after a while I lose track of who's who and I don't want that to happen. So, yes, please, if you are my friend on my Facebook page, an actual friend, please scoot over to Charlie Alejandro, the fan page. Actually, go on the page, though. This is the biggest mistake people make. When they send out the link, they actually click on... they actually click like on the link. It doesn't work that way. You have to physically go to the page. You have to physically go to our Diamond in the Rough page. And you have to physically go to my Charlie Alejandro page and click on there. Leave us a comment, please. We want to hear what's going on. you have any comments or concerns for us, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com. You can email us that way as well. And we actually will be going through some emails that I have that I should have gotten to Mountain Man, but I didn't.
I've been trying to talk to you about that one.
Ooh, I know. Infamous Angel Girl says, do you have any new artists coming on the show? Yes, I actually have a few, and the one that I'm most excited about, I know. I don't have any favorites because they're all phenomenal.
Wait a second.
What?
We all have our favorites in one way or another.
No,
yes,
we
do. Everyone we have on our show is awesome.
I'll be my favorite. I know. And it's not so much, you know, you're right. It's so tough, though, because we have some amazing talent. But one of the ones that I want to actually, let me bring up her Facebook page because I want to get the information out to you guys. She's going to be coming up. She was actually supposed to be on the show a little bit ago, and unfortunately she got sick. And, of course, when you're on a radio show, you can't be on it if you can't talk because you can't hear us. So we're going to reschedule
her.
Oh,
yes, I forgot all about her.
Julie Gibbons Kinchek, you got to go check her out on her Facebook page. I'm actually going to put the link in the website right now. Well, Julie, in honor of 9/11, which is this Sunday, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in the second half, some events coming up. But anyway, she actually has a link on her page. It's called My Story of 9/11. She has it with a free MP3 and a YouTube link. You need to go out there and check it. It's a song that she did. It's called American Memory. You can also go to her website and check it out. It's free. So you can go to www.juliekstings.com/story. And I will put that link in the chat page and listen to this amazing song. I'm actually going to download it later and put it in the rotation for you guys to hear it as well. She's got an amazing talent. I love her style. She's got a different flair to her. I just typed in her name. You guys just copy and paste that into Facebook. You should go right to her page. Please become a fan. Listen to her, support her. I love this woman. She has an amazing talent, and she really deserves I think she deserves to get signed, but that's just me. If I was a famous multimillionaire producer, which I'm going to be someday, I'm not doing that. Do not giggle at this multi-rich famous producer lady. Not nice. But anyway, I just put in her link on the chat room so you guys can enjoy it. Actually, speaking about Julie, let me play one of her songs. I love the song. It's called Great.
I was going to say... play the song, and then I will say my little bit about favorite artist after.
Absolutely. So for our listener enjoyment, this is one of our upcoming guests that will be here later on in October, Julie Kinchek, with her great song called Grace.
Wow.
She has such an amazing voice. I mean, it just sounds like she's just having so much fun and she's so much mellow. And I like that. I know back in the day they called it scat, that improvisation that she puts in her songs, where she just kind of lets her voice take over the vocals kind of in such a fun way, and I just love it. And that song doesn't show it as much. I mean, I love that song, but there's another one where she just goes off with the scat, which, of course, the Miss Legendary Ella Fitzgerald made so famous back in the day. And I just love her singing style, and I'm so looking forward to actually having her on the show. But one of the people that I'm really excited to have on our show is Louis Bello. I don't know if you guys know who he is. You should, because he's just an amazing talent. If you guys Google him, Louis Bello, he sings with his sister Lisa, but Louis Bello is an amazing talent. Check him out on Facebook as well. I will put his link up. He's one that I've been dying to have on the show. And one of the things that gets me is he's so busy and just like everywhere, yet he's the one that was sweet enough to come up to me and say,
"And how long
hey.
Have we been trying to get him?"
It's the we were actually since the beginning of January, and he was the one that was actually so sweet to come up to me and say, "Hey, when do I get to be on your show?" Which I'm so excited about, because that's just how he is. I just put his page on Facebook. Louis Bello and Malik Williams is another one. Now, Malik Williams, if you are in the Boston music scene, everybody knows who Malik Williams is. He is a Grammy-nominated, actually, I think he won a Grammy, producer. He writes beats. He's won several, actually more than several awards, Boston Music Awards, Hip Hop Awards, all that kind of awards for his music. And the thing is, he's not only a producer, he's a composer. He actually writes music, like incredible scores for movies and stuff like that. So he's really big in the scene, not just here, but in New York and L.A. as well. He's a well-known person, and he works a lot closely with artists in the area. And him and Louis Bello have come up with some incredible videos and some incredible songs. You know, last year we had their song Get Twisted on our rotation, which is a very fun piece. I love it. I just love it. I mean, I know people go like, "Well, they're talking about getting drunk." You know what? You take it your way, I take it mine. For me, Louis wrote that as a fun way to tell people to, you know, you need to relax, chill out, don't get so stressed out. It's a great song to have. Another person that we're going to have, now that I'm looking at Louis Bello's page, is Wilda Mendez. She's an up-and-coming rocker in the area. She has this really funky rock type of music that you guys would like. You know, it's not that heavy rock. It's really cool, and you guys would get a kick out of it. She's going to be on the show as well. Steve Nicander, we all know we've had him on the show last year. He's actually going to be unveiling some big things. He's going to be calling in a while, in a few minutes, and update us on that. And we have an unveiling for him for next week, which I'm so excited about.
Woohoo!
I know! It's just an exciting
Andy's week. In the house! Hey, Andy!
Yes, Andy! Hey! How's it going, Andy? Oh, my gosh. I love Andy. He's in the middle of writing a book that I love. And, Andy, I found the book. Yes! Andy and I were talking online about, goodness, it's got to be almost a month ago, and I mentioned this book to him that was really good. It's a book about survival techniques. Actually, not so much techniques, but things that people use to overcome really bad situations in law enforcement. And I said to him, "You got to read this book." And I said I was going to send it to him. And it was kind of funny because it's like, wait, where is it? Because I've been going back and forth so much between different areas that I thought I lost it. But I found it. So I'm going to send that out to Andy to make sure he gets it so he can finish his book, because he's definitely going to be on our show. I cannot wait. I actually got to read a little bit of his manuscript. Awesome. I love it. His book is amazing. It's definitely going to do. I really think it's going to save a lot of lives once it gets out there into the community. So I'm really excited, looking forward to it. On that note, I'm going to shift real quick on a somber note. We try to keep it positive, but I'm not going to play dumb either. As you guys know, Sunday will be the 10th anniversary of the horrific event that happened here, 9/11, and I just want to let you guys reflect on that and the fact that there's a lot of organizations going out there. There's one called, when I need it, it's gone. But anyway, one of these organizations, what they're doing is they're having a national thing. If you Google it on Facebook, it'll pop up. It's a day of remembrance, and what they're doing is they're encouraging people to do things to pay it forward on 9/11. And if you go to boxingcare.org, that's one of the sites that if you are interested in volunteering in any way possible, that's an organization that what they're doing is they're getting people together to do things for our troops, for our veterans, and to actually honor 9/11 in the way that I think it should be honored. Now, again, this is my personal opinion, so please don't get upset with me. There's a thing that I'm caught between a rock and a hard place right now. It's been 10 years since 9/11. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been pushing to have 9/11 turned into a federal holiday. I have a challenge with that. I do believe that 9/11 should be a date remembered. It should be a date to honor those that died, to remember and honor and help, keyword help, those that are still here. That's one thing that has bothered me is that people talk about 9/11 and the 3,000-plus people that we lost, but they forget that for those 3,000, there's close to, oh goodness, maybe another 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 left behind that are still suffering the effects of 9/11, whether it's
mm-hmm.
physical, through illness, post-traumatic stress syndrome, financial. So there's a lot of hardships that are still being felt by people that were involved with 9/11, and they're not being honored. So I personally have a challenge with this because, for example, Memorial Day. Memorial Day was a day of remembrance. It was supposed to be to go and honor those that we had lost. Originally, it was to remember those that had fallen in battle, in war, you know, World War I, World War II, Civil War, Korea, Vietnam, on and on. That's what it was originally meant to be. And yes, you still see some of that. We still have the Memorial Day parades. You see the flags at the cemetery. That's all well and good. But the majority of people nowadays, they think Memorial Day, like, woohoo, beginning of summer. Let's go get drunk. Let's go have a party. Let's go hang out. They kind of lost
yep.
the meaning of it. And one of the things that bothers me the most is obviously because of the financial situation that this country is in right now. Again, not picking sides. This isn't a political statement. This is fact. We are in a very difficult financial situation right now. What are the first things to go? Services to veterans. Services to lower middle class. Services that are considered frivolous, like, okay, healthcare for veterans, I don't consider that frivolous. Okay, fine, you canceled the city parade, granted, okay, that's money that could be better spent somewhere else, but that doesn't give you the right to totally ignore the fact that we're commemorating something that happened. Someone went out there in our place, because you didn't go, I didn't go, someone else didn't go. This person,
mm-hmm.
male or female, went, lost their life defending our freedom. And again, people, please listen to me. I'm very positive all of the time. This is a positive statement. I don't care if you love or hate our government. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Blue Party, Barney Party. I don't care. Irrelevant. All I am saying is that there was a challenge that arose, whether we agree with it or not, whether we agree with the war or not, not the point. Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, a courageous man, courageous woman said, I will go. They went out there. They left their family. They left their loved ones. They left their career, everything on hold to go and defend our freedoms or the freedoms of someone else and lost their life. Ultimate sacrifice. That needs to be honored. Not only that, if they didn't lose their life, they lost more. And this is, I know people say that, you know, Charlie, how can you make that statement? You can't lose more than your life. You know what? You can. Because the reality is, if I die tomorrow, I'm dead. My family is the one that's going to suffer over my loss. They'll miss
mm-hmm.
me, whatever. I'm dead. I'm gone. Whether you have a religious belief or not is irrelevant. If I'm religious, I'm in a higher plane, a higher kingdom, whatever you want to believe. I'm somewhere better. I
right.
believe that. The ones that are really suffering are the ones left behind or the ones that came back for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, they're coming back with physical disabilities and limitations, which means they're in a wheelchair, and Chris, you know this. This is our passion. They're in wheelchairs. There's limited access to them, to public places, their own home. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, veterans have great benefits. Stop. They do to some extent, but the federal government will not pay for infrastructure modifications to your home. So it means that a veteran goes to war, loses a limb, loses both limbs, can't walk anymore, the federal government is not going to come to their home and outfit it with a ramp and an electrical unit for them to get into their bathtub. None of that happens. They don't do that. They offer some services, but not all the services that these veterans need, and it's a damn shame. Excuse me for the language, but it's required right now. It's a damn shame. These veterans went out and did what they had to do. And let me give you another example. The United States of America is one of the only countries in the whole entire world that is made up solely, keyword, solely, of a volunteer military force. Every other major country, Germany, Israel, Italy, to mention a few, have mandatory military service, which means Israel is one of the ones that has it for both male and female. You become 19 years old, you have to drop everything, and you are required by law to join the military for 2 years. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's a kid that was here, he's from Germany, Sasha. Phenomenal tennis player. He was the best in the country. He was an exchange student here for a year, turned 19 years old. Still had a year left in school, had to go back home to serve his 2 years in the military. This is a kid that, by any standard, is geared to be a professional, phenomenal tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
Going to go out there, make millions, whatever, dropped everything. Didn't think about it twice. Dropped everything, went back. Another example, our exchange student CJ from Korea. The older one we had, I'm sorry, Jake. Same thing. This kid was in his second year of college at an Ivy League school, dropped everything, flew back to Korea to serve his 2 years in the military service mandatory. So my whole thing is that these kids are required by law. We in the United States do not require that. So all of these people that serve in the military do it willingly. So my thing is that they're willing to go out there and do that for us. For us, do not be delusional saying, oh, they're just doing it for themselves. They're not. They're doing it for us. Because of them and what they did and the message that they sent, again, whether you agree with it or not, you have to remember, the only reason more attacks like 9/11 have not occurred in this country is because two things. One, we finally woke up out of our little stupor, and two, our military force sent the message loud and clear. This is not going to happen again because they will be held to pay. So what I'm getting at is that 9/11, I really believe that something special should be done with it, but I will be very ticked off if 9/11, 10, 15 years from now, like, oh, great, I've got, you know, September 11th off. Let's go get drunk. Let's go have a party. I totally miss the point of what 9/11 is. I don't want it to just be viewed as another long weekend or another excuse for us not to have to go to work. I mean, I have to give you an example. I don't know if you guys remember, a few years ago, Veterans Day used to be the first Monday, the whatever Monday. It was, I think, like the second Monday in November. That's how they did it. And then finally they said, no, Veterans Day is Veterans Day, November 11th. So they changed it back to the holiday being November 11th, and that's the way it should be. Because you know what? If the holiday is on a Wednesday, it's still a day off. But I think people are more aware of what it means, Veterans Day. It's a day to honor our veterans, to give back, and to do something for them. And I think that's what 9/11 should be. Will it happen? I'm not sure. I really don't. I think we as an American people, sometimes I love America. I love being an American. I love being, but sometimes I really want to go, people, wake up, and really shake them, because they really get lulled into this places me and sense of entitlement sometimes. It kind of bothers me. I'm glad I'm really grateful that I have exposure to people like you and Andy and Angel Girl and all these amazing people that I have on the show that make me realize that that's, you know, less than 10% of the population, but we do need to wake up and realize that, you know what, this is our country, people. We need to wake up. And going on 9/11, this is the reason I want to bring this up as well. You guys have to remember, when 9/11 happened 10 years ago, we were in a society that it was like, we lived in lollipop land. It was Happy Valley. Mm-hmm. Everything was fine. We go on a plane. We get down. We go into a bank. It gets robbed. Well, if we lay down and do everything the nice bank robber wants to do, we'll go home at the end of the day. we get on a plane, if it gets hijacked, which hadn't happened since the 70s when the radical groups were doing it, well, we do everything the nice hijacker wants, the honest hijacker wants. Well, he'll land the plane wherever, Cuba, Israel, wherever the heck he's going, and then we'll be fine. Obviously, 9/11 showed us that wasn't the case. We were confronted with ruthless violence on those planes. And we as an American people had not been exposed to that. Yeah, we've been exposed to television shows and, you know, sorry, this isn't Rambo where everything turns out okay. So what they did is they threw the shock factor at us, and that's why those people on those planes died and froze. And I don't blame them. It's not putting blame on the victims, because think about it. The average American has never seen anybody killed in front of them. It's one thing to see a movie. It's another thing to see someone, you know, for real. And one of the things
exactly.
is and these hijackers planned it out. Like my husband was saying to me the other day, these hijackers, if they were on the plane with us, you with your way of grilling people, because I do, I hate to admit it, that I'm not Miss Susie Sunshine when I'm traveling. I grill people like, don't mess with me kind of look. He's like, you and me would have been the first ones taken out because we would have been thought of as a threat. They weren't going to take out the grandmother knitting in the corner or the pregnant lady or the couple with the three little babies or the honeymooners because they're in a different mind frame of mind. So that's one of the things that we learned from 9/11. Case in point, we had the example of Flight 93. We know they fought back. And that's what we learned as an American people.
See, and here's another piece to that, Charlie,
mm-hmm.
is I think about 9/11 myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where were you on 9/11 at like 9 o'clock in the morning?
You know
okay.
what? And that sends chills up my spine because of the fact, you know, I was reflecting back on that and you know, as some of you know, I have a family.
You
want to
know where I was on 9/11?
Yeah,
at
definitely.
9 o'clock
I want
in the morning.
To hear that because yeah, tell me.
I was at a hospital. I was a resident at a hospital when that happened over 10 years ago.
You know,
okay.
And you remember exactly, and I'm sure if I sat down and said, Chris, what were you wearing, what did you, it all comes back because that's how traumatic it
you
was.
You
want to
know
me.
Something? No. We had to shut all radios, all telephones, and basically shut all TVs off and no radios. We had to sit there and find other things to do that day.
You
we
know,
could
and it's
not. True. We could not even turn the TV on to something else because every channel that we had in that hospital was broadcasting the 9/11, what was happening on 9/11.
It's
you
very
want to know
true.
Something?
Go ahead,
that
Chris.
Was hard for me,
mm-hmm.
okay, because I was actually in a church, which I don't talk about all that much, but when I was mm-hmm. with that church, we actually, people that were in this church that I'm talking about were actually working in the World Trade Center
mm-hmm.
that day.
Right.
And we heard it through the grapevine that we lost some very good people that were in our church that I belonged to in the past. And for me, that day brings up a lot of nightmares for me. And
mm-hmm.
and you're right, Andy. It was so hard for me. And there are particular songs out there that make it hard for me to listen to them because not and for those of you who have been on the show before, you guys know me, okay? You guys are aware of who I am over the year and all that. But when I hear about certain friends.
Mm-hmm.
And certain people who I know, not may not know directly, but know through others.
Right.
I get very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may be a friend of a friend.
Right.
But I look for those But those songs actually make it so it's hard for me on those certain days.
No, and I totally agree with you, Chris, because this was something that really slapped us in the face. I mean, think about it. And I'm not talking just physically, but of the fact that it really woke us up out of, listen, people, wake up. Because like you just said, to this day, 10 years later, and this is what people forget. You, yourself, me, given this example, you just said, it's a day that's difficult for you. Certain songs bring it back to you, and you weren't directly there. Yes, you were impacted because you had friends who had friends there. You were affiliated with a church that was there, and you lost good people that day. There was a relationship there. And now think about how you feel. And everybody else that's listening to my voice right now, reflect back on where you were. I know exactly where I was. I remember waking up because I had worked a late shift, and my mom's like, oh, some plane just, like, crashed into New York. And my mom at the time, God rest her soul, was like this rumor mill person. Like, she was always talking about weird stuff. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm thinking, you know, tabloid stuff. No. She's like, it's on TV now. So when I went to look at the television, I actually saw the second plane go into the tower. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
The average American would have sat there and go, oh my God, what a horrific accident. Tactically trained me said, holy crap. Because I had been warned when I was on the tactical unit back in the 80s and early 90s that this was going to happen. When they
mm-hmm.
attacked the Twin Towers the first time, they specifically warned us and trained us for that thing. This will happen again. They told us flat out, by the 90s, you will see terrorist attacks on American soil. It's going to happen. It's not, will it happen? It's just a matter of when. So I knew it hit. And I
mm-hmm.
get chills thinking about it, because one of the things that hit me was that at that point, I had boys that were already grown. My son Derek was still in the military, was in the process of getting discharged from the military. So right there, that's the first flag that came. The other thing that thought about the fact, and a lot of people don't realize this, when you're in law enforcement or you're a fireman, we're a brotherhood. We're a family.
Exactly.
I don't care if you're a cop in China or if you're a firefighter in Somalia. We're a brotherhood. The crap hits the fan, I will be there. And if you take the cop brotherhood along with the army brotherhood and multiply it by a million times, that's the firefighter brotherhood. Because firefighters, unlike cops and unlike, well, military to an extent, but even more than that, they live literally together for 24 hours at a stretch in the firehouse. They eat together, they
mm-hmm.
sleep together, they do everything together, they become a brotherhood. And one of the things that's very hard for the average civilian to understand is that your military buddies, your cop buddies, your firefighters buddies, and I can see why divorce is so prevalent in those professions, and I hate to admit it, but it can happen, and it happened to me. You become closer to those people than to your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad thing if you know how to balance it, but I'm just trying to give you guys an example of how that brotherhood is. I lost 343 brothers that day, firefighters. Because firefighters and cops work closely together. Then to
mm-hmm.
add it, there was the 100-and-something cops that got killed. And the thing that gets me is people start forming an echelon of what's more important. 343 firemen died. 100-and-something police officers died. You know what people don't give respect to is the fact that 30-something transit police officers died that day.
Exactly.
You know what people don't realize? But you know what, Chris? People don't even give credit to this, and this aggravates me because I've done both professions. People don't realize that almost 40 private security officers died that day, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That kid making $7 and $8 an hour didn't run. They were doing the same thing the police and the firemen were. They were running in that building to help whoever they could help. No one ever cares about them. And all the civilians have died as well. So that's why 9/11 is such a touchy subject for me in that sense, because I feel that we as a nation really need to go back to that point in time where we had that unity. The best thing that came out of 9/11 was to go outside my door and to see almost every house in my neighborhood have a flag up, to see the flags on cars, to see the candlelight vigils, to remembering. And like I said, I'm getting chills because one of the things that I was going to mention was that when I woke up, my younger kids were in school. The older ones were grown men. They were at work. And within an hour, all the kids had congregated back to my house, the ones that were out of the house, they were on their own. They all came to the house. My niece came to the house because her husband was in the National Guard at the time as well. So within a matter of an hour, we were all congregated. They kept the younger ones were kept in school, but the same thing that happened to you, the radio silence, they didn't want them to hear anything. They basically told them something had happened, but, you know, not what it was. And it was given to us to tell them exactly what happened. So now here we are, we're all congregated, and what are the questions the youngest are asking? Is my brother going to have to go to war? Is Giselle's husband going to die if he's going to war? Are you and Dad going to have to go down there? So these are all questions because all of a sudden they realize about the loss and the magnitude and what's going on. And the thing that gets me is that we as Americans let that happen because we had just gotten lulled into what I call the iPod generation. Walk down the street nowadays and you do not see people unless they got freaking iPods in their ears, the earbuds. How dangerous is that? They're not paying attention. Do you think if that plane hadn't crashed and if the guys had gotten away and then I went to them and to the people in the plane and said, could you give me a description? Unless there's an air marshal on board or someone that really was, you know, law enforcement, military or whatever, people don't have a clue. Because the average American back then, they were looking at their shoes, they were hiding, they were trying to, like, you know, I'm not here, tuning it out, don't want to hear it. That really brought us back as a nation and woke us up and said, listen, we need to accept responsibility for this. The terrorist attacks that happened and the ones that could happen isn't just the responsibility of the police and the fire department and the military. It's everybody's responsibility, as we saw by the example of the so-called shoe bomber. That shoe bomber, the only reason that plane didn't go down, why? Because the people on the plane said, no, don't think so. And what people don't realize is that the people on the plane beat the living crap out of this guy. They jumped on him, they beat the crap out of him, and they took charge and said, we're not going to let this happen again.
But there's one thing I'm going to say. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Charlie, but I'm going to say this. Look at who is protecting us now.
Right.
Okay. We need to pray for all those who are protecting us now.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. You think about the police and the fire departments and the emergency, all the emergency people that are out there protecting us, our homes, our stuff. I mean, you think about it. How important are they in our lives right now?
Well, absolutely. And the funny thing is, that gets me is when the economy tanked, who were the first people who were getting laid off? Oh, let's lay off the cops.
Exactly.
Let's lay off the firemen. You know, and granted, I don't talk so much about law enforcement because I honestly, I'm going to be biased. I was a cop. I'm married to a cop. I have a kid that's in the security field. So I'm a little biased when it comes to that. I don't touch that as much. But really, like, the firehouse right down the street from our house, they shut it down. It's on part-time hours. You really? You're going to shut down the fire department? That makes no sense. And one of the reasons that I keep saying that we as Americans need to take our nation back is because, all right, let me give you an example. And this burns my goat. 2 days before 9/11, you have 5 National Guard people, male and female, who have come back from Afghanistan, who have done tours of duty, and excuse me if I get emotional over this, who have so-called made it back to American soil, and they are just sitting at IHOP trying to enjoy their breakfast when some nut job comes in and blows them away.
Yep.
How is that humanly possible? And again, it's because we're going back to that complacency, because I had to ask my husband this question. How? In God's name. And I'm not putting it on the National Guardsmen because, like Andy and I call it condition white, is when as a law enforcement official, you're in this lollipop land. La la la, everything's fine. I got 5 minutes left in my shift. I'm on days off. Woo-hoo, everything's great. And all of a sudden, something horrible happens and you go to condition black, where all of a sudden, all your training, everything has to kick in right away within a millisecond so you can go home that night. So here's these five guys eating, females as well. They're enjoying their breakfast. They're in uniform, so they're an easy target. But what gets to me is, okay, let's put them out of the equation. Because they've just been through the hell holes of Afghanistan, Iraq, or wherever the heck they came from. And for 1 second, they're like, we're on American soil. We're good to go. Let's just let down our guard. You're going to seriously tell me that a man walked into an IHOP carrying an AK-47 and no one noticed?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, he might have had his jacket on, it might not, but I'm just saying, and I'm not putting it on anybody, I'm not saying that it could have turned out differently, but my whole thinking is, how in God's name is it humanly possible that after 10 years, we've already gone back to lollipop land again, where we don't notice anything? And I know in my house we have a running joke, my kids have this joke, my daughter has this joke. She says, you know what, I'm going to need counseling when I'm in my 30s because you guys have made me paranoid. I'm sorry. Some people might consider it paranoid. I'm not. I consider it being safe. I mean, I actually remember when my kids were younger, one time we were in church, and I said to them, if a gunman came in here right now and started shooting, what would you do? And I know my kids looked at me like, and there was a lady that overheard me, and she gave me the dirtiest look like, oh, how dare you bring that up in the house of the Lord. I asked them, what do you do? And my kids knew that if a gunman came into that building and started shooting, it was their job to drop down, crawl under the pews, get to the nearest exit, and get the heck out of the building. And I told them, if by chance you happen to go by a fire alarm, pull the fire alarm and run. It's not your job to be a hero at that point because you're a little kid. I know it sucks to tell you not to worry about your brother and your sister. That is your job. And you know what?
Yep.
Within a couple of months, there was a rash of church shooting where nut jobs would go in there and start shooting people. There was the one in Colorado where the guy started shooting, and it was an off-duty security guard. No, a security guard was the one that took the guy and shot him and minimized the threat to the point that more people could have gotten killed. So what I'm saying is that we shouldn't become, you know, this society that we're all carrying guns. And so we have to really be aware of our surroundings and our safety. And my whole thing, how is that any different than when we tell our kids, if you go swimming and you get pulled under, this is how you get out of the undertow? Or the erroneous thing that, well, you just stuffed your face with 4 hamburgers, you can't go swimming right now because you might get a crab and drunk. I know it sounds silly to compare it to that, but it's no different than being CPR certified when you have a baby, with putting plugs into your outlet so your kid doesn't get electrocuted, with wearing a seatbelt or having a car seat to protect your child from getting injured. So my reality is that to let people know, there's nothing wrong with asking the difficult questions. And that's one of the things that Andy and I had talked about, because what people don't realize, 2011 has been the deadliest year in the last, since before 9/11, for police officers that have gotten shot and killed in the line of duty. It's like open season on cops, and what people don't realize is that the messages that we're sending out and the I won't even get into this because it would take me 50 shows to get on this, and I don't want people to think that it's that I'm getting political or radical, but the reality is that there, we as parents, and I'm including myself in there, really need to start asking some hard questions about what are we teaching our children. The United States was built and became a great country on the foundation of back-breaking work and resilience and patriotism. And those are things that are frowned upon now. We live in a society where everything is a sense of entitlement, a sense of we are owed. No, you have to work.
It looks to me like it's a censored area. it looks like we're being censored for every little thing that we're doing now than we were doing 10 years ago.
It is, because we're trying to be so politically correct that we've absolutely gone in the opposite direction. And I understand that. I mean, I know this works. Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. Who is politically correct? I haven't seen a single person who says they're politically correct. I mean, I've heard statements here, there, and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But come on.
It's getting ridiculous. It's getting to the point that everything is outlawed or illegal or zero tolerance policies that
look how much
getting kicked out of school for poking someone in the eye. Oh, come on now. Really? My generation, if you didn't have your eye poked at least twice by the time you were six, it's because your parents had you locked away in your house. My point to all of this is the fact that we really need to start realizing that we as Americans need to step up to the plate. And like I said, this isn't a negative comment. It's a positive thing. It's something we should be excited about accepting ownership of our country. I mean, everybody always says, and this is something that I learned when I was a community organizer, they're like, well, why is it that when you go to the low-income properties and, you know, the low-income projects, they look like crap, nobody cares, nobody cleans it, but then you go to these middle-income communities and everything looks great. It's called ownership. I'm sorry,
exactly.
But if I own something, I'm going to take care of it. But if you hand
but
it
see,
down
Andy
to me,
brought up. Andy brought up a good point. This generation doesn't even know what work is.
It really is, because, you know, and this is something that, again, it's a hotbed topic because everybody brings it up. They talk about illegal immigration. And I find it, this is humorous to me. When I see someone, and guys, please, I am not picking sides or anything. I'm just, think of this as this statement. I find it hysterical when you see some person on the news going, oh, these illegal immigrants are coming into my country and taking away my job. Okay, dude, number
exactly.
one, this guy would never in a million years clean a toilet for $5 an hour. They would never go out in the field for $3 a bushel or $2 a bushel or whatever the hell they get paid. So I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that 90% of the jobs that are being done by illegal immigrants are jobs that in reality, and I'll be the first one to say, I'm not doing that. It'll be a cold day in you know where you're going to catch this chickie picking oranges in 100-degree weather for freaking 20 cents a crate. Not happening. Yet there
mm-hmm.
are people willing to do it. But by the same token, we have 10% unemployment, because the kind of jobs that people want or are used to in this country, and that's not a bad thing, aren't available. Why? Because greedy corporations have taken those jobs overseas, reverse illegal immigration. They're taking jobs overseas where when our parents were growing up and they were taught, listen, you're going to get a job at the factory, and you're going to work there for 50 years, and you're going to raise your kids, you're going to buy a house, you're going to have a car, then you're going to have some money saved up, and you and dad and mom will be able to go to Vegas once a year or go camping to Yellowstone, and it's going to be great. Those days are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because those same factories are now in China, they're in Taiwan, they're all over creation, and these people are getting paid $1 a day or 12 cents an hour to do the job that we used to do in America. Yet, everybody wants to point the finger, but I don't see Americans refusing to buy stuff that says made in China. Like the other day, it floored me. Someone gave me an American flag because I was at a veterans event. Guess where that American flag was made? In China. And no one sees something wrong with it. And it's not discrimination. I am not discriminating against, because I will be the first one to admit that some products are made better in other countries. But it's when a basic American product, like an American flag, cannot be made in our own soil, and people don't see anything wrong with that. That's what's beginning to bother me. And that's what brings us back to this whole 9/11 mindset, that the best thing that came out of it, at least for the first couple of years, was that people finally woke up and took ownership of their country. They took ownership for their own safety. Because people are very quick to point out and say, officer, why are you pulling me over? My husband could tell
mm-hmm.
you a million stories of people saying to him, how dare you pull me over? But guess what? if my husband doesn't pull you over and you get your dumb butt into an accident because you're going 80 miles an hour in the Ted Williams tunnel and you flip your car over, here comes the question. Where is there a cop when you need one?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it both ways. We as American people have the, well, you need to do X, Y, and Z to them. You need to get them. But we don't want to accept accountability. We don't want to accept responsibility to say, what can we do? The greatest line John F. Kennedy ever said is, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. And I think we forgot that.
Yep.
And that's really sad. It's really sad that we as a society have forgotten that. And I have so gotten reconnected to that. And it's funny, when I was joking earlier about being a beauty queen, one of the things that I got snapped out of, and we're actually going to have a couple of the ladies that were title holders at the competition I was at, the amazing amount of volunteer, civic-minded work that these ladies do. Like, there's
mm-hmm.
one group, there's three title holders from last year, three different age categories, and their thing is they actually go to the veterans' home once a week, and they go to the hospice wing. You know, the wing
right.
no one wants to deal with, the veterans that don't have family but are dying, they will go there and they will read to them, they will talk to them, they will befriend them. The average American listening to me now going, oh, veterans have hospice wings? Yeah, they do. But why don't they have family? Well, maybe they outlived their family. Maybe their family, they got divorced. Maybe their kids died. You don't know. Or maybe they outlived everybody. But yes, there are people, veterans, who sacrificed their life dying in hospice wings right now with no one to visit them. And that is so sad.
Wow.
And we're sitting
yep.
here complaining because we're stuck in traffic for too long. Or I can't tell you, like the other day, it aggravated me so much. Just we were in traffic, and people are complaining, oh, this traffic isn't moving. What's going on? I can't believe these cops, blah, 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 blah. Complaining because we were stuck in traffic for 10 minutes. Well, didn't we feel like asses when we drove by and saw that there was a fatal car accident that they were attending to? Firemen and police officers were all there taking care of someone that had gotten seriously injured in a car accident. One died, one didn't. They were attending to their needs. We didn't think about that. Did we stop to say a prayer for these people? Did we think about the fact that, oh, my God, someone just lost their dad, their mom, or whatever? No. Our main concern is, oh, my God, I'm going to be 10 minutes late to go see Jersey Shore. Or I'm going to, you know, miss my burger at McDonald's is going to get cold. Come on, people. We as a society, and again, I'm just raising you people up to arms. We need to really snap out of it and get back to the fact that this country was built for us to achieve our dreams, achieve our goals. But we can't do that if we're so selfish that we don't take accountability for our actions. And, you know, Andy brings up a good point. It's damned if you do and damned if you don't. Like people.
And on that point,
mm-hmm.
I hate to burst your bubble, but
yes.
the guest that we've been waiting for
yes.
is
okay,
on hold.
Yes, okay, fine. I'm getting off my soapbox. We're actually going to pick this back up. I know. I'm so bad. Guys, see, if you see a soapbox and I'm around, get me off it. Cause trust me, when it comes to my veterans, don't screw with me. My veterans, no. So just before we bring Steve on, I want to let everybody know that 9/11, please volunteer in your community. There's a lot of great events. There's a couple in Boston area, and they're all nationwide. They're going to be packaging care packages for the troops. We're going to be packaging back-to-school things for the kids, for guys and women that have that are overseas, to make sure that their kids have book supplies and everything that they need. So please, I encourage you, volunteer. And on 9/11, please say a prayer for the families of those that were left behind. And for the ones that were taken, just say a prayer and remember what it's about. I'm not saying to hide in your room and be all miserable. That's not the point. Go out there and take what happened 10 years ago and turn it into something positive so that the memory of all those people that died will not be lost. So we're actually going to be having a segment later on in November where I'm going to have some amazing veterans on, and we're going to do a two-hour special for our veterans and just to get the word out there for them. So, yeah. All right, I'm off my soapbox. You are listening to Diamond in the Rough, Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man. If you want to call in, the number is 347-989-1473. You can also catch us at www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. And you can jump into the chat room. So I actually invited Steve Nikodem to come down and talk to us for a little bit, and I'm going to let him give you his spiel. Guys, we've got some amazing stuff coming up, and Mountain Man, why don't you bring Steve on in?
Well, Steve, how you doing, man? Long time to talk. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Mountain Man? How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing good, Steve. How's it going?
Good. Well, I'm going to jump back on that soapbox for just a second because I heard what you were talking about. And I had just made a post on Facebook myself. I don't know if it was, it must have been on yesterday, about how they're not inviting all the first responders to the event. And this just enrages me to the core. I think if we still had Giuliani there, he'd have never let that happen. I mean, they keep claiming that they don't have enough room and they've got all these politicians showing up there and all this. Listen, these people didn't want to show up, but they did that day because it was their job. And that they are not invited to this thing that, I had people that I know lost their lives that day and and other people that got saved because of these first responders were there. And I just think it's like a total crime that these people were excluded from this. I mean, I just don't understand it. It's kind of, it befuddles me. It really does.
It does, Steve. And I think I kind of caught it. I actually put that on my post as well. And it just bothers me because it's like, you're kidding me, right? I'm a politician. And again, don't get me wrong. I do have friends that are politicians. And
right.
I do have a couple of friends that are decent people and they're trying to do the right thing. But come on, guys. You got to know your place. This isn't a PR photo op. This isn't a photo shoot. This is a solemn ceremony to commemorate a lot of people that died doing what none of us would want to do. You know, like when one of the things that was more poignant was when we saw pictures that were taken and the camera was, recovered, where you see everybody running out, the firemen are running in, and survivors who say that's what got them, that everybody was trying to get the heck out of there, and all these firemen were running up to try to help people. So, you know, if you're a true politician and you're truly for the people, and you can hear me, please give your spot up and give it to someone that really should be there, and that's them. They are the ones that were there. They're the ones that lost their brothers and sisters in arms, and they're the ones that need to be there for closure.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yes. So
okay,
we'll
get off. We'll get off now.
Yes, my soapbox. I love my soapbox. My husband laughs at me. He's like, oh, you and your soapbox. I'm like, hey, back up. Steve, you have some amazing things coming down the pike, and I just wanted to make sure that we got you in. And Steve's actually going to be back next week for a whole hour where he's going to tell us more. Steve, tell us about what you've been up to and what's going on next Wednesday. I'm so excited.
Yeah. All right. So, Charlie and I have been talking for a while now, and we decided that our show that we're developing, it's coming really to a head now. Some really awesome news and contacts have been made. We've been building for this pitch that we're about to take this. It's those people that may have not known, we are working on developments right here in the Worcester area or the Mass area, greater Boston area, of a development of a docu-reality-based self-improvement show called Big Dreams. It's going to be based all about it's basically based on life after significant weight loss. All three producers, Z Zarbuck, Kristen Lucas, and myself have all lost extraordinary amounts of weight. We get collecting stories of all these people across the country. The basis of it will be to try to provide big dreams for these people, hence the name, it's called Big Dreams. For all these things that these people have wanted to do but never thought they could do until they've lost all this weight. But my big dream actually is to go ahead and try to inspire people that were just like me. But those people that don't know, just over a little over 2 years ago, I was a little under 650 pounds. I was bedridden. I was on the verge of death. I am now, Charlie, of just a couple of days ago, I am now at 258 pounds. I am
stop a sec. What? Go back it up. Tell me what your new weight is.
258 pounds.
Oh, my God. That is so amazing. Congratulations.
I am about 20 pounds away, having lost 400 pounds in just over 200, I mean, just over 2 years. So,
that is awesome. Now, real quick, one of the things, and I know we're going to get more into this next week, but I want you to let them know, is how did you lose the weight?
I did it all through nutrition and fitness, actually. All whole food, nutrient-dense nutrition and fitness. No weight loss surgery, not a just I had read a couple books. I started doing research online on my own on nutrition, and I had all kinds of diseases and all kinds of stuff, including diabetes and you name it. And I was literally too big to get weight loss surgery, so I was told by the doctors that I would have to do it through nutrition and fitness just to get to a weight to have the surgery. And my point was then I was like, listen, if I got to lose X amount of pounds to get to that, I might as well just keep going. So that's exactly what I did. And I had read a book by Dr. Amen called Change Your Brain, Change Your Body in the beginning of 2010. And he's a brain-based guy and a psychiatrist. And his book just totally opened my eyes how to heal your brain. And at the same time, once the brain starts to heal itself, your body is going to start to kick into its own healing mechanism as well. And I relied a lot on organic food, whole food, kicked away all processed and all kinds of that, you know, junk food and all that, absolutely gone. 80% water and, of course, fitness. You can't do it without some kind of movement. But I literally started in a recliner. So dancing with weights in a recliner got me within 4 months of losing 156 pounds. And from then I've just been going and going. And we promoted, I've been promoting a weight page on Facebook. And through that, I made connections with these producers, and we started developing this show. So, hence, that's why you've actually asked me on here today, because mm-hmm. we had an announcement to make that we will now, in conjunction with Charlie and her Diamond in the Rough show, has offered us a spot to create our own radio program on her mm-hmm. network here. So starting next Wednesday, we're going to have our first, it will be kind of like our test run show that we'll be creating the Big Dreams Radio program. And we'll be talking about all kinds of health-related stuff, healthy lifestyle. We'll also keep you informed of all the news that's going on. We will be pitching to Oprah and her network, the OWN network, very imminently here within about a month or two. It really depends on how much buzz we can create now through Boston and New York. That Kristen Lucas and I have been working fervently back and forth, traveling to L.A., assembling an advisory board, all who have lost significant weight as well. So we've got a doctor, psychiatrist, trainers on board. All these people have lost massive amounts of weight. We've amassed this group because my big dream is to go out and help all these people that are still wearing their same condition that I am right now. And I mean, there might be someone listening to your show right now that's in that same hopeless place, and I'm telling you, I'm here to inspire you and motivate you, and maybe even the rest of the country and a lot of people out there that you know, we need to do something about this epidemic. We got childhood obesity and all kinds of stuff and chronic disease running rampant in this country, and I think that the answers can be a lot easier than modern medicine sometimes.
You know, and Steve, I want to interject right here, and that's one of the reasons why I just love what you have to say in your message, and one of the reasons why I really think it's important for it to get out there. It's, we're going back to what we were talking earlier about the show, and that's accountability. And again, going back to modern medicine, it's great for some things, but for some things, they really have it backwards where it's, let's put a Band-Aid on it. Lap band surgery is great for some people, but in your case, you were actually told that your chances of even surviving the surgery was minimal, right?
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah.
So in reality, here you are, and for our listeners to get this through, Steve was basically facing a situation where he had all these health issues, and modern medicine is like, okay, we're going to do something that actually might aggravate it even more to get you to this point. So Steve decided to take it upon himself and educate himself. And one of the things that I like, I actually put it up in the chat room, the link to Steve's Facebook page, and it, you guys should go over there and definitely stay on that page and become associated with it. Steve, number one, the name. Steve Sir Drop-A-Lot, the candor. Love it. So you guys, if you if you're not in the chat room, look him up. Steve Sirdropalot Nicander, NICANCER, the health minister, on Facebook, and befriend him. But one of the things that I love, and I'm going to have people realize right here, doesn't matter if you don't have 50 or 100 pounds to drop. You're like, oh, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Yes, it does. If you don't have any weight to lose, and if you only have a few pounds to lose, it's about the health factor associated. And, Steve, that's what I like about it, because a lot of times programs that are geared for people that need to lose a lot of weight kind of leave the rest of us out of the equation because we feel
yeah,
we can't relate. Right, but with you, one of the things that I love is that almost on a daily basis, you have some phenomenal recipe or phenomenal health thing. Like this, today's was chili lime chicken a la health minister. Seriously,
yeah.
I wanted to start licking my monitor. That looks so freaking good.
It was so good, Charlie. I took it out of the oven, and it was just like, oh, my God. It was just amazing. And we just got out of a business meeting over here at New Cafe off Chandler, but I had to eat something before, and I made it with a wonderful vegetable quinoa. Quinoa is kind of like a parent or a cousin of the couscous kind of, you know, and so it's high in protein. I think that's one of the things I like to stress with a healthful eating is that, you know, you still want to rely on a lot of protein stuff. I mean, and try to, if you do eat meats, try to eat safe meats if you can. But there's a lot of plant-based and that kind of stuff. I mean, people don't even know that, like, stuff like spinach and dark greens, that has got a lot of protein in it, too. So I made, like, a quinoa with some spinach and vegetables in it, and it was great. It was fun.
It is. It looks phenomenal. And one of the things that gets me is that if you're on Steve's page, after he puts one of these amazing pictures, there's all these comments, oh, I want the recipe. Because this isn't your grandmother's diet. This isn't your mother's diet. Because diet, to me, is the first three letters of die, D-I-E. You know, really,
yes.
You want to do something that starts with the letter die in it.
Yeah,
it's
and when people think healthfully, they always think, oh, it's going to taste like crap, and it doesn't.
Yes, it's like, oh, I'm going to eat carrot sticks and celery for the rest of my life. No, this is what I love about your concept, and I'm also looking at another page that's making me drool right now. This baked avocado Tuscany, are you kidding me?
I know.
This is amazing looking, and it looks like, oh, my God, it looks great. So, Steve, one of the things that I love is how you're showing us, and again, like I said, this isn't just for people that want to lose weight. This is for people that want to have a healthier lifestyle.
Be healthy. Right, that's it. It's all about healthy lifestyle.
And having more energy and more vitality. And one
Absolutely.
Of the things that people don't realize that we as an American society, the sad statistics are that our children, my children and their children, it's going to be the first time where their life expectancy is going to be less than my generation.
Absolutely.
Their quality of life, health-wise, is going to
be more.
Going
to reduce
Yes, than mine. Mm-hmm. And we're an industrialized nation. We shouldn't be seeing these statistics. The statistics are scary where you have kids that are walking around literally borderline malnutritioned. And, of course, you think of malnutrition and you think of these, you know, horrible pictures you see at midnight with the babies with the swollen bellies. No, we have kids that are 50, 60, 70 pounds overweight. We're seeing a huge increase of juvenile diabetes. But because all they're eating is fatty, non-nutritional food, they're also borderline malnutritioned. Which
Absolutely.
Causes a lot of the health issues going on.
In fact, when I, and this, it might even, people might actually think it's hard to believe, but at that excessive weight that I was at, I was malnutrition. I was not
mm-hmm.
getting the right amount of nutrients because I was still an alcoholic and I didn't want to eat the right things. So I basically was this huge person, but I didn't eat the proper amount even the right foods to actually give me nutrients. And when I read those books and read the information from Dr. Oz and Dr. Furman and Dr. Kessler and all these people, they kept stressing that nutrients are such a vital importance. And we always kind of, you know, I mean, a lot of us fight this thing. Oh, I got to eat fruits and vegetables. I got to. But you know what? They're coming around. They're changing that they change the pyramid to the plate. They're making changes, and they're finally realizing even Weight Watchers and all these things. You know, points. That's all well and good, that you really have to start to think not only about calories, because everybody always focuses on calories, but you have to think about the quality of the calories that you're putting in your mouth. And that means that you've got to be putting stuff in your mouth that is going to be beneficial to your body. And I tell
you,
that's very true.
And one thing, too, Steve, that I love what you're doing with the balanced nutrition and stuff is that 60 years ago, you didn't hear of people having to take a bottle full of multivitamins, you know, the vitamin Ds and the vitamin Cs. And
that's right.
Because we were getting that from our nutrition. We were getting it from our fruits and vegetables, and we were getting it from, you know, our orange juice and all the stuff that wasn't being processed within an inch of itself. A great example is the other day we were talking about rice, and my husband says to my son, "Oh, you got to try brown rice. It's great," because we had gone to this Chinese restaurant. They don't serve the white rice as side order with certain foods. They serve the, you know, organic brown rice. And
right.
My son said, and I felt bad. He's like, "You mean rice is brown?" Yes. Real rice is not white. Real sugar is
not
white.
Yeah.
Because
they
bleach it and make it look synthetic.
That's right.
I'm like,
you can actually, and you know what impresses me? I was at Walmart the other day, and it kind of almost blew me away. But they even now have organic sugar at Walmart. And when you look at it, it's brown. It's like brownish in color. Salt.
And it's funny because
the really good salt isn't white. It's not bleached.
Exactly.
It's not rinsed with chemicals. It's kind of like grayish, you know?
Yep.
And those are the minerals and the vitamins that come out of the earth. And I keep always saying that we are earthbound people. We were born of this earth. We go back into the earth. And we really need those minerals and vitamins. And that's why we have to take so many supplements now, because most people don't eat enough of the nutrients to get those vitamins that we need. You know?
It's very true. And the rise in illnesses and stuff are all a direct
result of our health. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, most of these diseases like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, all these things are lifestyle-related diseases. Yep. And it really comes in, nutrition plays a vital importance. You know, I've had three friends, good friends, within the last 2 years die of cancer. And and now that when I think about all that I've learned in the last couple of years, you know, and then I look back at the way they spent their lifestyles. You know, their diseases are a direct reflection of the way they lived in their lifestyle. It's sad.
It's very
true.
It's
very
true.
I was just out at the IDEA Fitness Convention. It's the biggest world fitness convention in the world, actually, in Los Angeles. Me and Dr. Engman were out there, and we were talking about that exact thing. You know, Alzheimer's is one of these insidious diseases because it actually starts 30 years before we actually even see symptoms for it to actually pop up. So way back when we're 20 years old, this stuff starts and we don't know, but it's really a direct result of the way we're living our lives. And we take
it's
that for granted
so true.
And we go ahead and live it. And then, you get to 50, 60 years old and all of a sudden you start, your memory is decreasing and you're wondering why you can't remember this, and all of a sudden they say, guess what, you have onset of Alzheimer's. But you know what, it was those things that you were doing that last 30 years that have perpetuated that. And when you start to think that there is actually ways that you can actually stave it off and keep it away by doing things like proper nutrition and exercise and all that, I think it's almost like a non sequitur. It's like you just think to yourself, why? Of course I got to do that. If I want to prolong my life, if I don't want disease to, like, infest my body, I want to do these simple things that are actually going to help me live a more helpful and a more well life. And you know what? Even if you're not overweight, I guarantee most people that are listening right now have someone that's got some kind of these lifestyle diseases in their family. I mean, it's pervasive in this country. And, you know,
it really is. Steve, I hate to cut you off because we're down to two minutes. I'm
absolutely
so shocked. I'm not really shocked because you're amazing. So for our listeners, Steve is going to be back on our show next week at 8 o'clock, Thursday the 15th from 8 to 9. But also, Steve will have a great unveiling. We're going to have him do his own segment on Wednesday night, right, Steve, from 8 to 10, right.
That's
here.
Right.
On
yeah, 90
Ordinary
seconds.
Woman. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, it's on that. It's going to be on the same
Big Dreams Radio.
Ordinary Woman. Yep. It's going to be called.
Yep. And I'm going to have my own sidekick, just like you have Mountain Man. I'm going to have my own sidekick.
Steve and his sidekick are going to be on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. I hope you join them because it's going to be an amazing show and it's going to have a lot of health tips and a lot of great things that you guys are going to learn and get you pumped up to better your life and have longevity. So, Steve, I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks for calling in and giving us the information. Looking forward to it, and we're all definitely going to be joining you on Wednesday. So we're going to have, I put Steve's page up on the chat room for you to, or not, look him up, or drop a lot on Facebook, Steve McCandle, look him up, befriend him, and that way you can be kept up to date on what's going on and what's coming up in next Wednesday and next Thursday. Thanks for stopping by, Steve.
All right, thanks. Bye, Charlie. Bye, Mountain Man.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're down to 30 seconds, guys. Thanks for coming back. We had an amazing summer. I'm so glad you all came back and joined us. We're also going to be expanding our times. We haven't decided if we're going to be doing a Monday or a Tuesday yet, but we are actually going to be going to twice a week for our show. Remember, Wednesdays, 8 to 10, you're going to have Steve. Thank you for joining us. And remember, never let anybody steal your dreams away, and nothing is impossible to the willing heart. And with that, on a short notice, I leave you with Amazing Grace by LaQuandra Seymour for the last couple of seconds. Good night.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Good.